I'm Aaron Gallo.
I'm Marty Hogan.
And I'm Eric Berry.
And we're from the Starfleet Escape Podcast. And you're listening to another great 4Eyed Radio product. For more shows, check out 4EyedRadio.com.
It's your good pal, Steve-O from the 4Eyed Radio Network. I'm here to talk to you about a wonderful designer we all know, Revenge Lover. Illustrates and designs that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, please visit RevengeLover.com. And just do yourself a favor and tell them Steve-O sent you. I know it really doesn't count for anything, but, I mean, come on. Who are you going to trust? You going to trust somebody else? No, you're going to trust me, Steve-O. Because, face it, I'm awesome.
Today on Ranger Command Power Hour.
There is Secret Ranger fan.
I don't know. No, she said I'll be on in a second.
Okay, cool.
Stronger than before. Go Skype. Better than Google Hangouts. Go Skype.
And now on Ranger Command Power Hour.
It's the Ranger Command Power Hour.
Come on, this.
Today on the Power Hour, Episode 50, Ranger's Normal Episode, recorded on August 30th, 2015. Welcome to the Ranger Command Power Hour on the 4Eyed Radio Network. Summer Ranger Up with your hosts. I'm Eric, also known as Trekkie B47.
I'm AP, also known as Secret Ranger Fan.
And I'm Zach, also known as the Cinema Slob.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/RangerCommandPH. There are over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Hey, guys.
Hey!
How's it going?
Good.
How is it going?
It's good.
I'm ready for September.
Yes! Yes, please.
There's a lot of good stuff happening in September. But yeah, hey! It's our 50th regular episode release.
Yay!
Wow.
Yay! Milestone! Not counting our extra episodes that we started this year, this is our 50th episode.
Sorry, I apologize.
And Zach's been bored
it's
throughout.
So great.
He just hasn't forgiven us for when we left him in that toy store in Little Tokyo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I had
that's true.
Up. For this next project coming up, I claim dibs on being one of the male characters this time.
Okay. Well, speaking of which, we're planning to do another round table pretty soon. And that will be for the casting side. And we'll get to that in our news. But yeah, the casting sides were released for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh boy, were they.
And we decided that we're going to do a kind of like a live table read. Yeah.
Oh dear. If those sides are anything to go by, it's going to need all the help I can get.
So we'll get to that, but yes. Well, 50 episodes, I think that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I wanted to give thanks to all of our listeners who have supported us for the past little over a year and a half. It's amazing the amount of support that we get from our listeners, whether it's retweeting our tweets or just talking with us on social media. People that have actually supported us on Patreon, which I know when I started that this year, I was just taking a chance on that. And it's actually proved to be pretty successful. And it's all going back into the show and giving back to our listeners. We've been able to do contests and give away some pretty cool prizes, I think. And that's all because of the support of our listeners. I know this isn't like a big milestone, like 2 years or whatever, but not a lot of podcasts reach that 50 episode mark for whatever reason. They either fizzle out or something happened. So I just want to thank our listeners, and I also want to thank you, AP and Zach,
aww,
you know, just for being my co-hosts and sticking with me through all this. So
I love you guys.
I love you guys so much. No, but really, there's been times the past year and a half where, you know, in this fandom, I've just wanted to rage quit.
Mm-hmm.
I know those feelings, bro.
For various reasons, but I don't, because just the incredible amount of support we've gotten on our show, and the only reason I continue to do this is for our listeners, and it's thanks to you guys too. You've given up time in your personal lives to do this, and for me it's never a chore because I'm just talking with two of my really good friends, so thanks.
Aww.
Yeah, so yeah, I didn't mean to get all emotional.
Oh, you know, yeah, all this mush in the room is just, I can't handle, I can't deal. Everything you said is right back at you, man. Doing this thing with you guys has been an absolute blast. I mean, if it wasn't for this podcast, I wouldn't have gotten to do half the cool shit I've done this past year and a half or so. And I wouldn't trade any second of it for anything. This has been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. If I didn't do this podcast, I probably would have never really joined the fandom. I sort of did right before I did this podcast, but I probably wouldn't have really stayed or become involved
as active.
I probably would have just continued to be like a lurker every now and then on the message boards and like reblog a couple cool collages on Tumblr or something. Like, I probably wouldn't have done much. Yeah, I love doing this podcast with you guys. Just chatting with my friends every week about something.
About something. Yeah, about something, like, Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And just the friends that we've met through this and have interacted with. Like Chris over at Toku Nation, he's become one of my best friends, not just in the fandom, but ever. That wouldn't have happened without this show. Getting to talk with Jordan and Tom and...
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten a doppelganger if I didn't do this podcast. Asian man doppelganger, but...
orphan Secret Ranger fan. Orphan Yellow, that's what it is.
Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, that sounds horrible.
That sounds not at all.
I was doing Yellow because of Lightspeed Rescue Yellow, and then I was like, wait, Tom's Asian. Abort! Abort!
But yeah, no, doing this has been absolutely wonderful, and like you said, AP, getting to meet new people through the fandom. I have some of our listeners who now follow me on Twitch when I do my video game streaming, which is awesome. And I love it. I love being able to sit there and play video games and chat with them. I love getting to hang out with Chris and the guys from Toku Nation. I can't wait for 2 weeks from now when we're all together sitting, chowing on pancakes and bacon and watching Power Rangers together. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We got a lot of things planned for the rest of this year. So I really hope you guys continue to listen, spread the word, and just hang out with us every other Saturday. God, with this extra episodes, it's like people are getting 3 straight weeks of episodes. It's really not a chore for me. Sometimes I'm up super late editing, but it's still fun for me. Like I said, I wouldn't do this if people weren't engaging with us like they have. And
exactly.
Anyways, enough with the mushy stuff, and let's get on to the news. So first, we have the complete, well, almost complete, final Dino Charge episode titles for the last 10 episodes. These are courtesy of Kyle416 over at the Cable TV forum, and we'll have links in the show notes to that. We already know Breakout, which is the episode, if you're listening to this on September 5th, it's next week. Night After Nights, 13 is Sink or Swim, and then these are new. So episode 14 is True Black. 3 Rangers become trapped in an underground tomb. It's the race against time for Chase to master his new power upgrade before his friends are lost forever. And we talked about that, but it was like a weird French episode description.
Yeah.
So there's some huge translation error on that. The one after that, episode 15, is called Royal Sacrifice. Prince Philip discovers money can't buy the respect of an Energem when he embarks on his own quest to become a Power Ranger. Number 16 is No Matter How You Slice It. When one of Sludge's monsters manages to break the Rangers' bonds of friendship, it's up to Riley and Coda to remind their team what they truly mean to each other. Episode 17 is World Famous. in New Zealand. When one of Sledge's transport pods is spotted in New Zealand, the Rangers head to Auckland and are shocked to discover the existence of a new Ranger. 18, the English title is unconfirmed and the description is not available, but episode 19 is Wishing for a Hero. No description is currently available for that. And episode 20, which is the finale of the first season of Dino Charge, is called One Last Energem. So what do you guys think of these back half episodes, judging from the sound of them?
For a half second, I thought you said back ass word episodes, and I was like, what?
These back ass episodes.
No, they sound great. I'm really looking forward to World Famous in New Zealand, just because I love little winky nods to, like, ah, hey, look, they're going to New Zealand.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't think they've shown this season any establishing shots of Auckland. Mm. That has substituted for other, well, pretty much any of the Disney seasons have used Auckland and flying shots of Auckland to represent the different cities.
Right.
So you always see, like, the Auckland Tower, that big tower thing in the distance, kind of like that Space Needle-looking thing. Mm-hmm. At least I don't think that Dino Charge has used any of those shots. Do you guys recall that?
I don't remember any.
No, not off the top of my head.
So I think they might be saving that for this New Zealand episode, which is kind of cool. But you're right, Zach. It's going to be like a winky nod to where they filmed this for the past 15 years. I think they're pretty cool. The One Last Energem title intrigues me. Does that mean by this episode that they will have all 10 Energems? We know the Aqua Energem, there's already a Ranger out there that's bonded with it. We just haven't met them yet.
I'm thinking that might be the one in New Zealand.
Okay. And we know Prince Philip, he's going to become Graphite.
Right.
Yeah.
Gold's coming up.
Right.
So that really just leaves Purple and Silver, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
I think it might be Silver, though, because didn't we see, like, a filming picture of Purple with the rest of them, but not Silver?
Oh, yeah, because that was that picture of all of them in Dino Drive mode.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, that was from the teaser that they released from San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, no, not that one. It was, like, when they were filming out on location, it was sort of, like, blurry-ish.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a couple of the Rangers fighting, and I think it showed a male Purple, but I'm not...
I remember the picture you're talking about. Yeah. Nightmare found that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe what if it's something like the one in New Zealand is a Purple Ranger, but he can't go with them to Amber Beach, so he gives his Energem up.
Mm, maybe. Well, that sounds really interesting, though. I hope that happens.
Maybe he gets injured?
Going from the Sentai, the Plesiozord is also an ocean
spaceship.
Zord.
Well, it's also a spaceship.
It is a spaceship, but I mean, like, crossing the ocean from New Zealand to Amber Beach, California. Is it California, Amber Beach? Did they say?
They're pretty much all California at this point. I would assume it's California.
Yeah, because then that makes sense, because then they can cross the ocean in the Plesiozord.
That would be freaking awesome.
Headcanon confirmed.
Well, not until the episode ends, but...
Headcanon accepted.
Yep, that's good enough for me.
Next, We Love Fine has announced their next Power Rangers design contest.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone remembers the last contest, I was a runner-up winner.
Right,
for
so you got your design made. The design.
And you're like one of the few shirts that's still being sold.
Yes, that's a good point.
Yep.
I was actually really shocked because earlier this year, I wanted to purchase more of the other winners. But when I went back earlier this year, barely any of the winners were being sold except for mine and a couple others. Because I was like, whoa, what's happening here? Yeah, I don't know if they weren't really being bought or what. But anyways, so that was a couple years ago. But now they're bringing back last year, or was it earlier this year, was the Threadless contest, which we all know how that went. They launched this on August 28th, which was the 22nd anniversary of the show. There's already some designs up there. I guess you can submit a maximum of 10. To me, it's a Power Rangers contest. It's not Zoo Ranger. That was the thing that kind of irked me about the Threadless, because like a freaking Jetman t-shirt was one of the finalists, and I was like, really? That was never translated into Power Rangers.
And like half about half the finalists for that one, they blatantly went against the rules that they posted like two lines down further on the page. That one was a hot mess, but...
I don't want this one to be a hot mess either. I think it's going to be more MMPR.
Probably. I mean, that is the most marketable version of the franchise.
If more people submit designs that are sort of like the one you did last time, with more Rangers and more of a comprehensive look at the series, they might get more votes and they might win. But I didn't really see too many people submitting at least good ones that would actually be like marketable other than yours and like maybe one other. But
and that's the thing, like, I get it, Mighty Morphin is what sells, I understand that, but at the same time, at least my thought process going into it was, it's the 20th anniversary, we need to celebrate all the seasons in some way. It's Mighty Morphin, that's always going to be popular. 90% of the winners in the first We Love Fine contest were Mighty Morphin based, so it's just going to work out that way. But at least when I submitted my designs, I submitted like an SPD design, a Time Force design.
If more people do what you did, there's a greater chance of non-
of a t-shirt not being Mighty Morphin as a winner. Yeah. No, I agree. The contest ends September 25th. The guest judges, one is Brian Cassantini. He's Saban Brand's senior vice president of the Power Rangers franchise. He's also serving as producer on the upcoming live-action feature film in partnership with Lionsgate. Mm. One of the other guest judges is Andre Meadows, known as Black Nerd Comedy.
Sorry, but...
Obviously, part of the Power Force. The next one is Alex Gaylor, and he is an artist for Boom Studios, who is now handling the Power Rangers comic book franchise. And then Hot Topic is also a guest judge. Just to quickly go over some of the rules, the do's and don'ts, do make something original. Research to make sure your idea isn't already out there. That was huge because there was a lot of pirated ideas on the last one. Do make stylized art. Get inspiration from Power Rangers. Do have fun and be creative. Don't submit similar versions of the same design. Sometimes people submit the same design but with small changes. This will only divide your votes and hurt your chances of winning rather than help it. Don't use any copyrighted, third-party, or inappropriate materials. The contest is to submit art designs to be officially licensed. If it's too obscene or mixes third-party or copyright materials, it will not be approved. And don't use any original artwork from Power Rangers as part of your design. All designs should be your own creation.
They posted one thing, if you see people cheating, please email us. So they seem to be taking that pretty seriously.
That was my experience with them when I entered the contest 2 years ago. They were very responsive with emails. They were very quick to take down a offending or copyrighted. There is some guy who basically traced one of the Marvel Comics covers. Even though they never took it down, they assured me through email, they said there's no chance of that winning. They're like, we're not even considering that. We Love Fine, they're amazing people. I got to work with them at C2E2 earlier this year. I got to work their booth. It's a fun company. They really support artists and original creation. So I was actually really excited that they're doing another Power Rangers contest.
And the prizes this time seem a lot better than last time.
I didn't see what the prizes were.
Yeah, it's on...
A grand prize winner, $1,500 plus the Power Rangers Legacy Collection. That's amazing. Because that's like $300 itself.
Yeah.
Actually, $1,500 was the prize last time.
Yeah, but the rest of the prizes, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, the runners-up, $200. All right, so the guest judge picks, there's four of them. They will each win $400 cash. That's awesome.
That's nice.
The guest retail judge, that's Hot Topic, $400 plus have a chance to have their design sold at the retailer. First place runner-up, $200 cash plus the Mighty Morphin Legacy Titanus. That's amazing. And the second runner-up, $200 cash plus the Legacy Saba. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're going to waste some good stuff.
Boy, I wish I knew how to art.
So, Eric, win the grand prize and then give one of us the Legacy Collection. And then we'll know which one of us you like better.
Wow. Well, I'm not good at campaign or nothing, but it's a lot easier for you to just drive down and give it to me than pay the extra.
Okay. How about this? If I win the grand prize, I'll give one of you the Legacy Collection and then with the $1,500, buy the other one, the Legacy Collection. Then we can all have it and be equal.
I think that's a great plan.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other 1,000 will be used to get AP to power more.
Yes. Let's do it, because you know what? We have our fans and followers behind us to help us on this.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't made anything yet, so hold on. Actually, I do have some ideas.
Is it Nancy's face on a spaceship? Is...
A lesbian love that lasts forever.
I'm like dying right now. I'm sorry. Oh, do a Kendall Morgan for Mayor shirt.
Oh, speaking of, Claire Blackwelder totally mentioned that in her interview with that hashtag show at San Diego Comic-Con.
Highlight of my month.
It really was. The host asked, he was like, well, do you have any hashtag? He was really trying to get out of her that Kendall's the Purple Ranger. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, nope.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh, yeah, someone did a Kendall for mayor campaign. And she's like, I really like that. And then they flashed the graphic that I created on the show.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. She's like, I don't remember who it is, but I really like that one. And I'm like,
it was us.
We did it.
Senpai.
Well, moving on to our next piece of news. The casting sides were released for the MMPR movie reboot. What do you guys think of them?
My only reaction can be summed up as, ugh. Which is like the groan of indifference, but on steroids.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Zach's reaction. And like quadruple it, maybe.
There are no words.
And then maybe a little bit of crying for Kimberly's backstory. But other than that...
Good lord, if you want to talk Power Rangers Grimdark version, how about having the Pink Ranger like being terminal? What the hell was that about?
Alpha, I need the strongest warriors this planet has to offer. Get me a cancer patient.
Good god!
That makes no goddamn sense.
Wasn't one of the producers Fault of Our Stars?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I could see that influence right away. Like, really?
Yeah.
You guys are going to go Fault of My Stars on Power Rangers? Come on.
The instant I read that, I face-palmed so hard, I'm pretty sure I gave myself a migraine.
You know where I face-palmed so hard? When Trini, like, in response to all that, is like, New Girl listens. What?
Yeah.
The dialogue was just so weird.
Nobody
it was
talks like that.
New Girl listens. Okay.
And then Billy's breaking into like a decommissioned military base to find a dinosaur fossil.
I don't get it. And it's probably the one that he found on Google Maps.
Oh, God. And the whole thing about how do they get their powers? Through their feelings.
Guys, let's get real. Holy shit, I'm a Power Ranger.
Yeah.
I don't really know what's going on with that.
It's not looking
and
good.
And the product placement, they broke into an abandoned Sonic. Come on.
Yeah.
This does kind of suck because it confirms what El Miambe was scooping.
That's the worst part of it. Because now
that is the worst.
Gets to sit there and gloat.
I was right. I'm the best.
Oh, God.
My only hope in this is that casting sides are never usually the final product. That's the only hope that I can somehow glean
from
this.
That is our last hope.
Sometimes they have nothing to do with the final product. Like, they're written specifically for casting.
And it's just a misdirect? Yeah. It's like not a... Okay.
I know they do that for a lot of TV shows and stuff, because they leak online, and then you don't know what's actually going to happen. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. It's the same thing that happened with the Dino Charge casting sides. If you guys remember, the Graphite Ranger was going to be Riley's brother through the casting sides. And now we know that's not even the case with Prince Philip. So that's my only hope, because I really don't want Rita being some gold heist person that is literally making Goldar out of gold. That is just the dumbest.
Yeah.
It's just the worst.
So she's basically just a bank robber. International gold thief
from space, apparently. Yeah. Like I don't know. It's bad.
And they need these love derived power armor to defeat her.
Mm-hmm.
So. I rolled my eyes so hard on that. I'm like,
it's bad.
And then the power starts forming around them as they're, you know,
as they're crying just, and hugging.
Oh god, it was just so cheesy. I don't care. Just have Zordon hand them the morphers and be like, "Yo, Rangers, morph right now. And that's all I want. I don't want, oh, yeah, I'm really depressed, and this is my real feelings, and blah, I'm a Power Ranger. Like, I don't understand.
The truth is, I'm scared, okay? I'm scared that everyone's going to find out who I am. Oh, look, I have armor now.
Bad. It's terrible.
It's so bad that we will be dedicating a whole episode to it.
Yes, we will.
With the return of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie roundtable. So look for that soon. I hope you guys rewatch this episode because we're going to be talking about episode 10 of Power Rangers Dino Charge, The Royal Rangers. We start out the episode. Miss Morgan is super tired. Coda and Tyler wake her up, and she's really concerned about Fury having the Dino Charger for the Terrazord. Mm-hmm. And she creates a new battle mode, which is Dino Drive mode.
Kendall?
Oh, it's Miss Morgan.
Did you work all night?
Destroying monsters is one thing, but with Fury in charge of the Terrazord, you made a stronger battle mode in your Megazords.
She gives them these Dino Drive chargers. They have not been tested in battle. She says that they double the power, but can only be used in the Megazord.
I feel like that's foreshadowing. Major foreshadowing. Really? Yeah.
Really?
Because she blatantly said, like, only in the Megazord. And I feel like eventually Tyler will probably try to use it out of the Megazord now.
Oh, to get some extra power, maybe to defeat Fury?
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting take on that, because when I first heard that line, I kind of did my own groan of indifference, because I was like, oh, they're justifying this only Megazord mode. Mm-hmm. Just like what happened in Samurai. Now they're blatantly saying, oh, you can't use it outside the Megazord. And I was like, oh, God, that's so terrible. But I don't think Chip would do that. And he said that, you know, what we think might happen may not happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he would put in such a toss-away line like that. So, yeah, like what you said, AP, that would be amazing if one of the Rangers tried to use it outside and there were some consequences there. I think that would be pretty sweet.
I just want to say, I think it was absolutely adorable the way Kendall was passed out at the lab. And, like, the other Rangers came in, they're like, Kendall, are you okay? And she's like, it's Miss Morgan, and I'm fine.
Yeah, she was kind of, like, drunk tired. She was just kind of stumbling around a bit.
Yeah.
She had, like, burger wrappers.
It was the cutest. I don't know why. It was adorable.
I liked it when Coda slapped her on the back, and she's kind of like, oof. Yeah. He doesn't even know his own strength. Yeah. He's just like, oh, yeah, good job, whack. Well, the first shot opens up with Riley setting up a sign for the Stone of Xandar exhibit. And the other Rangers are getting busy checking out the shipment that they got. Kendall says that she's not going to be doing that because Shelby wants to show her something. And we find out that Shelby is trying to get her friend, who's a new side character that's introduced, Julian. He's an artist, and Shelby really wants him to get the chance for his work to be displayed.
Come on, Kendall! I mean, Miss Morgan. Julian's work is great. Look at the sketch. It's beautiful.
I completely agree. Julian, your work is terrific. But this is a history museum, not an art gallery. I'm sorry.
Thanks for trying. But maybe it's just not meant to be.
What do you guys think of Julian's character?
I feel like it was unnecessary.
Okay.
I disagree to a point. I do like that he comes back into play later in the episode, but I think he's just going to be one of those one-off side characters. Like, yeah. I don't think we're going to see him again.
Okay. You don't think there's the possibility of him rangering up or anything like that?
No, I think that's stretching quite a bit.
But do you think that could be a misdirect for some fans to think that he might become a Ranger?
I feel like it's another. Remember when Jordan showed up on Megaforce and everyone thought he was going to be a Ranger for some reason?
Yeah.
I feel like it's another situation like that.
Where it's just a one-off side character.
Yeah.
And Mighty Morphin did that a lot, too. Some of them were recurring, like Zach's girlfriend, Angela. Mm-hmm. They did have a misdirect when the whole, like, ooh, it's a Gold Ranger. Like, I know they had several, like Travis and... Or was that the same guy who was helping Ernie at the juice bar? And oh, it was like during the whole White Ranger.
Yeah, yeah. Thing. During the White Ranger, like, people thought it was going to be Richie, who was, like, the guy that mm-hmm. Trini kind of had a crush on
mm-hmm.
for four episodes he was in.
It's kind of a nice nod back to Mighty Morphin, where there's just kind of like these one-off characters kind of help supported the lesson of the day.
Right, mm-hmm. right. I think that's basically what Julian is there for. He's there to support the learning your lesson about being a good yeah. person, and that's it.
I think while all these Rangers are young, like they're in that 18-ish kind of age, I still think they're not high school students. I think they're just after high school doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of cements it in a way for me, because I didn't see Julian as like a classmate, but maybe he was like someone who was maybe a grade lower that she befriended mm-hmm. in high school kind of a thing, mm-hmm. and that's how he knows her. But I thought he was an okay character for the episode. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't a terrible actor or anything.
Right, right.
I just feel like maybe there was a tad bit too much focus on him.
Okay.
Yeah.
You go outside. They're unpacking the crates for the exhibit. And then Shelby and some of the others ask, what's the Stone of Xandar? What is that?
If you believe the legend, it all started when the knight, Sir Ivan, found the stone.
Knights are so awesome.
So, what happened? Well, supposedly, hundreds of years ago, the young Prince of Xandar was being escorted by Sir Ivan.
I'm thirsty. Fetch me some water.
Ugh, seriously? Just because he's a prince, he can't say please?
That's not the point of the story. Anyway, while they were stopped to get some water, the knight noticed something shimmering in the creek. He reached out, only to find...
All of a sudden, there's this big screech. Coda thinks it's an eagle, but it turns out to be the Terrazord, and it's attacking. So the Rangers go running off, and then we get the shot of one of the crates glowing gold. Cue the theme song, and then we open up with the Terrazord attack. It's attacking the city. I love this whole sequence. Like, I really loved that they didn't Ranger up immediately, that they thought that since it's a Zord, they could use their own Zords to take care of it. Coda and Chase immediately step into action. They throw their Dino Chargers and call the Stegosaurus and the Parazord.
Dino Charger, ready! Summon! Stegosaurus, summon! Parazord!
Stego Charger, engage! Paracharger, engage!
I've said this before, I always love individual Zord fights. I love when the Zords get their own chance to shine outside of a Megazord. Mm-hmm. I thought this whole sequence was awesome. It kind of reiterates the fact that the Rangers are, in a way, psychically linked to their Zords.
Mm-hmm.
It really shows, in my opinion, the connection that they have to the Energem. Because they didn't even Ranger up for this. They were controlling it from the ground in civilian form. I kind of like that. I like that they were shouting out commands for the Zords to do. And then Parazord and the Stegozord, they were starting to get their butt kicked. And then Tyler steps up and calls Rexy. And he's like, yeah, go get him, Rexy. For whatever reason, I really like that whole sequence. And I like that Tyler was doing like his Ranger moves to call the Zord outside of a costume. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think of that? Was that just a cool moment for me? Like, I don't know.
I thought it was cool, but it was also a little awkward.
Okay.
At, like, the same exact time.
For me, I'm getting sick of everyone constantly referring to Chase as Hotshot.
Yeah.
That's getting a little old. Even Coda's like, oh, good going, Hotshot.
Yeah,
like,
it's a bit much. We appreciate the reference once or twice. 8 times an episode, we stop now, you're done.
After Tyler calls the Peristego formation, they transport fully rangered up into the Megazord, which is cool. I always love seeing like a transporter effect, just because the whole teleporting thing has been lost over the years in Power Rangers.
I can't remember the last team that had a teleport.
Well, technically Megaforce, but they only did it one time.
Oh, okay, yeah, I guess that's true.
I like that. I love when they transport into the Zords. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. The reason they call the Megazord was because Fury transforms the Terra Sword into the Terra Charge Megazord. And that was an epic shot with descending from the sky in its cape and landing on top of a building. I thought that was amazing. And I know that's all thanks to the Sentai, but it was really cool. And then I thought it was kind of weird. Riley was like, oh no, it's the Terra Charge Megazord. How do you know that's what the name is? It's the first time you guys are seeing
Were they in the suit at that time?
No, he was on the ground.
I feel like maybe, like, I know this is just sort of reaching, like, headcanon type stuff, yeah. But we already know he's one of the smarter, like, geekier ones in the team. Yeah. So maybe he helps Kendall out in the lab sometimes. Maybe he saw the plans for it. Maybe the Energem gave him that knowledge.
That could be.
Yeah.
That could be. We all know that when Rangers connect to the morphing grid, they all of a sudden gain all this knowledge of, like, how the Zords work. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. So I can see your point there. But
and we also, to me, but we also know that at least the Dino Charge Rangers have like a heads up display when they're in their suit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also a thing.
Yeah. Maybe he saw that could form into the Terra Charge Megazord. But when he said that, it was on the ground when they were in civilian mode. So maybe in a past battle, he saw that, whatever. Mm-hmm. They start getting their butts kicked a little bit, and Kendall says,
Tyler, we weren't expecting Fury to control a Megazord. It's dangerous, but you have to try your new Dino Drive mode.
Understood. We're willing to take the risk.
Right.
Yeah.
Dino Chargers, ready! Dino Drive, activate!
I can feel the charge of strength!
Awesome!
Kendall, you very smart.
I just hope it gives you the edge you need.
They all whip out their Dino Drive chargers. I thought it was a little weird that they're all T-Rex based. They all have the T-Rex mode on it. I love the Dino Drive suits. I think they're so cool. Like, I really like seeing them through the videos and pictures that people were taking at San Diego Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. So it's great to finally see them in action in the show. They look really nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've got the Peristego formation. They try their best to defeat Fury, but they're really just holding him back. There's a cool shot where they kind of fling the Stego shield out and then use that to deflect Fury's beam and get a few shots in. Fury runs away because he's losing a lot of power. Then they start talking about it once they're back into the museum. It's later at night. They're still unpacking the treasures of Xandar. There's a funny shot of Coda in the background with getting a knight's helmet stuck on it. I thought that was great comedic timing because, you know, all the Rangers are having this conversation and the camera isn't even focused on Coda, but you see him in the background struggling to get this off, and I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yoshi's such a great physical actor, too. That's just that kind of humor that it's natural because it's Coda. So they're all lifting the top of this crate, and it immediately glows, and all of their energems start glowing, too. And they're kind of freaking out, like, whoa, what's happening? And it turns out the Stone of Xandar is the gold energem. Back at Sledge's ship, Fury is only able to half charge the Terra Charger because the gold being that's trapped inside him is now blocking the transfer of power. Fury is pissed off. He wants to destroy the Rangers, but he takes what he can get. He takes the half-charged charger. Tyler comes up with this plan to lure Fury out, and maybe we give him exactly what he wants and to set a trap for him. On the ship, there's this show called Glitz World, which Poissandra enjoys watching.
Glitz World episode!
What's going on here? You're watching that gossip TV show again! Get back to work! All of you!
Oh, you furball! Wait till Sledge hears about this! Mean kitty!
The Stone of Xandar exhibit has its grand opening tomorrow.
It's rumored the Zondarian prince will be making a rare public appearance with his new bride.
What?
And she will be wearing the stone itself.
A princess has the gold in her gem.
I thought it was a cool nod to, you know, things that happen off screen, where Chase was like, oh yeah, Kirio mentioned that Poissandra never misses the show. I just thought that was a nice way to show that what we see in the show, there's other adventures happening off camera. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, so phase two of the plan. we get Shelby in a super pink frilly princess dress, and she's like, I can't stand this, get me out of this. And Coda's line, oh, you look like cotton candy, which does not go over well with her. All of them are kind of shot because she looks really good, and then Chase is making some comments and she throws one of her shoes at him, and it's just a very natural reaction. She's like, I can't stand princess, and this is crazy. Kendall's like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And then Tyler walks in, and he's in full prince gear. He's got the medals on. He's got the sash.
Got his hair slicked down, looking good.
Yeah, and he's got a fake mustache, which people are comparing to Borat.
Very nice.
Very nice. Yeah. And then immediately, Shelby's like, oh, yeah, I can talk to that. I can do this. It was just so cute and innocent. And even Tyler's like, oh, okay. And he kind of does the shy looking at his feet thing. Mm-hmm. And all the other rangers kind of give knowing looks, and it's like kind of like one of those wink wink things. Then we get a shot of all of them undercover. Coda's up in a tree because he's good at seeing things from high up, I guess. We've seen that a few times. Riley is dressed up like Secret Service. I thought that was hilarious. That was,
yeah.
Kendall is the... She's the limo driver. And there's that great picture that Claire tweeted out with her and Riley, and they both got the shades, and it's kind of like next to the limo, like arms crossed, like, yeah, we know what's up. That's such an awesome picture. And then Chase got the fake goatee going on, and he looks like ultra tourist.
Yeah.
He looks like super tourist.
Most stereotypical tourist.
He's got binoculars and a camera, and he's just...
Wasn't he wearing a safari hat, too?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. He was like, all get out. I'm like, okay, dude, it's a dinosaur museum. But it was so over the top. And we actually get a cameo from one of the voice actors that's been a voice actor on the show for many years. And he's also on Twitter, Campbell Cooley. He's done the voice of Tomars in SPD, which was a great villain. In Mists of Force, he was Skullington. Operation Overdrive, he voiced Alpha 6 for Once a Ranger. In Jungle Fury, he was Barracuda. In RPM, he was Magnetron. In Samurai, he was Rhinoceros. In Megaforce, he was actually Admiral Malcor. And in Dino Charge, he's actually the voice of their equipment. So he's the one going, Parastego Formation.
And that's neat.
Yeah, so he's the voice of all that. And so in this episode, he's the paparazzi guy that's like...
Prince of Xandar, huh? Never even heard of Xandar.
And I thought that was a neat little cameo for older fans who have followed his work. And he's pretty active on social media, and he's really good at interacting with the fan base.
Very
so
cool.
Definitely give him a follow. It's like a whole media circus. The limo pulls up. They're walking on the red carpet. Shelby actually spots Julian, and they go off the red carpet. And she's like, oh, this art, I must have it. And Tyler kind of follows the lead, and he's like, oh, I'll take this one for the summer home.
Yeah.
And it was just pretty funny because earlier in the episode, Keeper gave her this advice that not all royalty is stuck up. There's some that can use their position to do good deeds. Shelby took this lesson to heart because with all the paparazzi and news people around, for the prince and princess to take such an interest in this artist, all the media was around him. Like, oh yeah, where'd you study? Where'd you get this? I thought that was a cool little side mm-hmm. to their disguise. So then again, they get back on track. Tyler's like, Fury should be here by now. So he has to ad lib this whole speech, which is funny in itself. There's this great mural behind him with the mysterious figure attacking Ivan. There's some foreshadowing there because then Fury bursts out of the picture.
Twas 800 years ago, when the knight, Sir Ivan, saved Prince. Prince. Him from an evil, hideous, vile beast.
Surprise! Give me the energem! With the Zord, and now this energem! You Rangers are finished!
He flies off, steals the fake energem, which was around Shelby's neck, and he thinks he's got the upper hand. He inserts it into the Terror Charge Megazord console, and it blows up in his face, quite literally. Knocks him out of the ship. Then, once again, we're in Power Rangers Quarry. All the Rangers run up, all in their disguises, which is hilarious. And then they morph. What I thought was interesting was they took the time to film original footage with pink and green. I read this from another fan that the fight that they were using in Kyuriger, only black, red, and blue were fighting. This was something, again, probably wouldn't have been done in the past 4 years of Power Rangers under Zachor. Uh-huh. They actually filmed new green and pink fight footage to splice in with the Sentai footage, so all the Rangers were fighting in this epic fight.
That's awesome.
And it was an epic fight. Fury had these two, I don't want to say generals, but kind of like minions. And they're called Spike Balls, which I thought was kind of odd.
Yeah, it's a lame name.
It was lame. But the fighting was epic.
Yeah.
Fury versus Tyler was intense. And we finally got that shot that was in the intro of Tyler flipping back and skidding with his armor on. And it was just such an epic fight.
You're mine!
T-Rex Smasher, Parachopper, combine! T-Rex Chopper!
Fury Thunder!
Double Blast! Give me the Terror Charger or I'll destroy you! You've got no choice, Fury!
He wasn't playing around.
Yeah, that's the first time we've had Rangers issue that threat. We've never had that from Rangers, really.
Yeah, and for Tyler to, like, really threaten someone like that, he knows that Fury is somehow to do with the disappearance of his father. So he's all out, give me that or I'm going to destroy you. And it calls back to their earlier fight a couple episodes before this, mm-hmm. like with the car, the episode that was right before the hiatus.
Yeah.
And I love it when Rangers have a rivalry with one of the villains. I really like that. And I'm glad that they're kind of continuing this. All of a sudden, the gold energy is affecting Fury again, which causes Tyler to hesitate because he actually thinks it's his dad. He even says, Dad? Fury takes that opportunity to escape while Tyler's distracted. And it's kind of like one of those, I'll get you another day type of things. Then we switch back to close out the episode, back to the museum. Everyone's wondering where Tyler is. They're working their shift at the Dino Bite Cafe. Julian is on the phone with his agent now. He's going to New York, and now he has this possibility to go to London. And so he thanks Shelby for her help. She finally gets the message. Yeah, Keeper was right. Maybe royalty isn't so bad. Then we go back to the underground science lab.
Tyler, I've been looking for you. From what I can tell, you had the chance to destroy Fury and retrieve the Terror Charger, but you didn't. Why? What happened out there?
It's okay. I wouldn't have destroyed Fury either. Not today.
Me either.
You made the right choice, mate.
It was the only choice, Tyler. Until you know for sure.
Know what for sure?
That spirit, the one inside Fury. I think 10 years ago, he captured my dad. And trying to escape. That's why I didn't destroy Fury.
You followed your heart, my friend. That is never a mistake. Until whoever is locked inside of Fury is free, you cannot destroy him.
And that closes out the episode, and it's kind of like this big foreboding what's going to happen. I love this episode.
It's great setup for the next episode that's going to come out.
Yeah.
But not only is it great setup, there's so many great things that happen in this episode themselves. I had no idea that we would get Dino Drive this early. I was actually really surprised by that.
Yeah, me too.
I thought that was going to be more of like a later on in the season type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it makes sense since the toys are already out. It was kind of perfect timing that they would show up this early. To get a power up less than halfway through the first season, that's pretty cool. Overall, what did you guys think?
I liked it. I thought it was way better than the last episode. I mean, the last episode wasn't terrible, but this one was 10 million times better.
I wish they came back from the hiatus with this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a great setup to what's going to happen. It's getting to the point where you can really see those layers start to build. And all the story elements are kind of coming together. I just think it's really cool. It's probably one of the better lead-ups to a Extra Ranger that we've gotten in a long time.
Definitely.
If you're listening to this the Saturday that we debut this on September 5th, which is Labor Day weekend, there is no new Dino Charge. So they're actually doing a Labor Day preemption for the show. At least we can give you this episode review. I think the fighting was amazing. I loved that the Terror Charge Megazord debuted. It's such a foreboding Megazord. I really like the cape on it. I think that's a really cool feature. Kind of gives it that old school menacing, mwahaha type of villain.
Mm-hmm.
Discovering a new Energem, the Dino Drive mode. I just think there was a lot of great things that was happening in this episode. Plus the comedy that we got too, with all the Rangers disguises and...
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to mention, Shelby kissed Tyler on the cheek on the red carpet.
Yeah, buddy.
It was so awesome because it felt natural. Obviously, we know that she likes him and we got his inner monologue when he was writing his diary that he likes her. It's great to see this natural shipping going on in the show itself,
mm-hmm.
not the forced stuff that we got in Super Mega Force with Jake and Gia, where it came literally nowhere at the end when she kissed him. Up to that point, she expressed no interest in him. So I like that they're actually building a romance.
Mm-hmm.
In Dino Charge. It feels natural. It doesn't feel forced. When she kissed him, I was like, oh, snap, that's actually happening. And it was cute. It was innocent. It was something that they would have done anyway to keep up appearances on the red carpet. I thought that was a nice way for her to sneak in a kiss as an excuse type of thing. So it was cute.
One thing that it's like a nitpick, and it's not even major because it didn't detract from anything for me. It's not like I was thinking of it the whole time, but how could Tyler and Shelby possibly pose as a prince and princess in internet age and have everyone believing that they're the prince and princess?
Well, if you're looking at the French episode spoilers, you know that becomes an issue. I don't know, AP.
Maybe that's something
that... I hope that is covered later on in the series.
Wah, wah.
Let's just say, I think with Chip Lynn, we're in good hands, and I don't think that's going to be overlooked in upcoming episodes.
Nope.
That's good.
But I kind of took that to a point where even one of the paparazzi that the guy that Campbell Cooley plays, he's even like, Xandar, never heard of it. Maybe it's just one of those kingdoms in England.
Mm.
The Royal Rangers, I think it's a solid episode. Definitely some huge foreshadowing to things coming up pretty quickly in the show. We all liked it.
Yeah.
For you, listeners of Ranger Command Power Hour, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a 30-day free trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Recently, I finished The Martian by Andy Weir, which is going to be a major motion picture soon, starring Matt Damon. The Martian follows astronaut Mark Watney's survival on Mars after an accident on the surface of the planet leaves him stranded. I think this is a fantastic book. There's a lot of humor through Mark Watney. He's kind of a sarcastic a-hole, and he uses his humor because he's the only one on the planet to keep light of his situation. I think it's a really solid book, and now I'm really looking forward to the movie coming up. So to download your free audiobook, maybe The Martian, go to audibletrial.com/rangercommandph. Again, that's audibletrial.com/rangercommandph for your free audiobook. Moving on to our questions from Ranger Nation segment, you can go to askfm.com/RangerCommandPH and submit a question to us. This question comes from Josh Moore at Kentucky Jam, and he asked, it being the 50th episode, can each of you in 50 seconds or less share what most attracts you to Power Rangers? All right, I'll start. So what attracts me to Power Rangers is just the fun aspect of the show. I loved the show as a kid. So when I do watch it, it does make me feel like a kid again. I've never stopped loving superheroes. Power Rangers is one of the few live action superhero shows that's consistently on the air. I love collecting the toys and the merchandise, and I also like the most, or some of the fandom at least, just because of all the friendships I made. But what most attracts me, I think it's the friendships that I made through the series. And that was 48 seconds. Boom.
Well done.
Who wants to go next?
Yeah. I really enjoy live-action superheroes. Like you said, Eric, I really love the Zords. I love Mecha. I love Transforming. I love all that stuff. I mean, that's why I watch a lot of Sentai, really, and Kamen Rider. Mm. So it's just another way to get that fix. Sometimes I really love the writing. When the writing is good, the show is great. And like you said, I love the friends I've made through the fandom and through just all of us being huge nerds on the internet.
Good job, AP.
So the thing that most attracts me to Power Rangers is the whole live action superhero thing, like you guys said. Mm-hmm. And I like the suits. I like just the sort of like the mindless entertainment type thing, especially as I grew older. It's like a good escape from everyday life just to watch these superheroes do their thing. And I also just like the entire concept ever since I was a kid of that anybody could really be a ranger. Yeah. And just how, like, it almost gave me hope that I could be one someday. And what continues to attract me to it is the friends that I made through the fandom and just discussing it with other people. And that's about it.
Like us.
Yeah.
So now we're going to move on to our Ranger Nation Answers question. But first, I'm going to rewind a little bit. We forgot to include Nightmare 10's answer. She included a very great answer to a couple episodes ago where we were talking about spoilers. What do you consider a spoiler in this fandom, and what do you think of them? Here is her answer, and I think this is going to sum it up perfectly. Nightmare said, "If people don't agree with me on my stance on things, that's okay. We're not always going to agree on the same things. I'm giving out my thoughts and maybe seeing if I can have others try and understand where others are coming from. I'm open to further discussion on this topic. This is all my opinion from what I have viewed over the past few days." The term spoiler, I think, is hard to define, as over time I feel has become a subjective term. You'll have people calling everything spoilers, you'll have people that doesn't think anything is a spoiler, and you have those that pick and choose what's considered a spoiler. It's going to be different for each person you talk to. I think it's what the fan, whether they be a reader or viewer, decides for themselves. However, there's still the need to respect others' thoughts and opinions regarding them. Personally, I don't care about spoilers being spoiled about anything. When I hear about something that will happen later on in a book or movie or a TV show, it makes me more excited to see how it turns out. In fact, a lot of the time, it's what makes me want to start whatever it is. The thing is that there's always the respectful act where someone asks me if I care about being spoiled before just stating the information that could be considered a spoiler. No, I don't think casting news, for the rest of this I'm using who played the gold Dino Charge Ranger as an example, is a spoiler. But I have seen those who do not want to know who was cast before these episodes air in the United States. Yes, there have been speculation and open discussion about this for months, and yes, it's really only a small group of people who have asked not to know what I've seen over different social media places and websites, but they still don't want to know. From what I've seen, this seems to be the root of arguments I've seen in the fandom lately. Is casting a spoiler? For me, no, it's not. For some, they don't wish to ahead of time from another country, especially when we're this close to episodes returning. And both of those are okay. Yes, you'll generally know who is all involved in a show before it airs, but Power Rangers is handled differently than a lot of other shows I watch regarding casting. or maybe I just don't pay too close attention to how it's handled. But there are some who don't want to know the identities beforehand, if it's at all possible. What do I think has caused this argument in the first place? Screen caps or discussion about the episodes with no warning. For the records, yes, I watched the episodes early. Like I said, I don't care about spoilers. Many, I feel, are missing the point that posting screen caps with no warning or discussing the episodes with no warning is what people are arguing over, not the casting news. Or maybe I just don't understand where the others are coming from. Let me know. Posting anything that could be considered spoilers, especially when there are many who have openly expressed not wishing to be spoiled, without any form of heads up about it, isn't cool at all. You could easily say to mute someone or to unfollow someone, but if you're mutual friends with a person who doesn't share your same opinion on spoilers, you're still running the risk of spoiling things for people no matter what it is. I don't think making comments about it or joking about what they do or don't consider a spoiler helps matters either. There's always going to be disagreements about things, but that doesn't mean resorting to making jokes about what they believe or how they view situations differently than you do should be done in response. The fact is that there are people who don't want to know certain things ahead of time, and the fandom, and fandoms at large, need to respect those people's wishes and at least, provide a warning beforehand.
She's very passionate about the topic of spoilers.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, and I have to completely agree with her.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
I do too. That's why we made the decision to only review episodes on or after their air date. Mm-hmm. I just think that's fair for everyone. I don't think there's anything more to say on this. We've made our point with a whole episode devoted to it and Nightmare's comment. So that's it. Nightmare sums it up perfectly.
Yep.
Yeah.
There we go. Moving on. Our Ranger Nation Answers question this week is, what is your favorite Power Rangers anniversary or milestone episode and why? And the reason I ask this, 50 episodes, it's kind of a milestone. So I have to ask you guys first, what is your favorite anniversary or big milestone episode in Power Rangers?
I'm scrolling down looking through the answers, and it's going to be a lot of the same, but Forever Red was such a neat episode to me. Mm. I had fallen out of Power Rangers, of course, by the time it had come out, and the only reason I ever heard about it was I bought the Best of Power Rangers DVD.
Yep, and that's the same way that I found out about it.
I picked it up in the store, and I went, oh, this is neat, and I looked at the back of it was like Forever Red, all 10 Red Rangers from the previous seasons, and I went, sold, I'm buying this, I gotta see this episode, I gotta see what this is about. So yeah, for me it's definitely Forever Red.
I'd have to agree with that. It was a highlight of my childhood, I guess I could say. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really watching Power Rangers too regularly at that time, but once I saw a commercial for that, I was like, had to watch it, could not miss that. And it still sticks in my head as a prominent thing, you know? And then also, I really did like Once a Ranger.
Okay.
I thought it was neat how they brought back Rangers from the past seasons, and then also they brought back, like, Adam. Was not expecting that.
And this was still not really many spoilers. The internet was still just on forums, and mm-hmm. we kind of suspected they were going to do something. But yeah, when Adam showed up, I was like, no way.
Yeah.
It's Johnny M. Bosch. Holy crap.
That was also around the time when I sort of discovered the online Power Rangers community. I think that's right around when I signed up for Ranger Board. I was never really active. I'm still not. Like, I don't think I've been on there in years. But that's when I discovered this whole, oh my gosh, there's all these other people who are discussing it and I can join in. It was right around that time, too, so...
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll have to agree with you, Zach. Forever Red. Yeah, I mean, by that point, I had fallen out of Power Rangers, and it was only picking up the Best of Power Rangers DVD, which I still have. Even though I have all the episodes in the Legacy Collection, I still keep that DVD. But yeah, Forever Red, when I saw that, it's like, holy crap, this is my childhood and then some. And just seeing all those Rangers come back, it's something that we haven't got before or since in that term of epic scale. But another one I like, once I got back into the fandom with Dino Thunder, I really liked Legacy of Power. 500th episode. For a clip show, that was a damn good clip show. It was Tommy's video that cataloged all the past Ranger teams, and I think it's the perfect way for someone who hasn't watched the show in a while. That is the perfect episode to sum up all the past teams before Dino Thunder.
Unless you want to know anything about Joel. Sorry. Wasn't he like the only one left out of that entire thing?
I don't know. Was he? Was he left out?
I think he was, yeah.
Did Tommy not say Joel?
I want to look that up real quick because I'm pretty sure that happened. He discussed every single ranger except for Joel.
What the hell? I'm going to have to rewatch that. What a jip.
Meanwhile, on Earth, an elite team was being put together to fight a new battle against an invasion of demons.
Lightspeed has developed technology and highly sophisticated weapons that we believe can stop them because of your skills. You've been chosen to use these weapons to defend the city. These are your rescue morphers. The city needs you. I'm in, sir.
Me too.
I want to help.
Ready?
The Lightspeed Rangers needed one more to complete their mission. That's when Ryan joined the team.
Titanium power!
Yeah. Hey, I was watching that.
They did not shoot Joel's profile. Carter says I'm in. Kelsey says I'm in. Chad says I'm in. Oh my god, they skip over! There was no Joel in that! They mentioned Ryan. Wow. Okay.
Go, go, slightly racist revisionist history.
Tommy's a racist? What?
Well, he is the white power ranger.
Oh, Lord. Okay, let's move on to what our listeners had to say.
Yes, please.
On Twitter, Tyler Waldman at RSF, he was the host of RangerCast. Tyler had to say, of the traditional milestone episodes, Forever Red, toyetic ending aside, it treated characters with care and respect. Of non-traditional anniversaries, Fighting Spirit was the 11th birthday present to PR and did not disappoint as Tommy Focus. Once a ranger spent too much time serving Operation Overdrive, Bokenger stock, and the legendary battle merits no discussion. I like that answer.
Yep.
Nightmare at Nightmare 10 said Forever Red because it is like a crossover of multiple seasons featuring some of my favorite rangers.
Burgundy Ranger at Burgundy Ranger says, I'm agreeing with Forever Red, not just for the 10th, but it's also kind of a send-off for the Saban era team.
Scott S. at DigiRanger 1994 replied to Burgundy Ranger and said, and the ones that follow have way more problems. Ones that forgive a bike defeating Serpentarium.
Sean Carpenter at Sparky Sean said, once a ranger for the veteran rangers, Forever Red for Jason coming back, and Legacy of Power due to the history lesson. Bridge and Adam made Once a Ranger worth it, though.
Totally.
Yeah.
They totally mm-hmm. did.
Nathan at Sentinosan says, Once a Ranger. Good story and a bright spot in the horror show that was Overdrive.
Absolutely. Den Ghost at Deno Toku Nation. Countdown to Destruction 2 works because of the amazing number of cameos from past heroes and villains alike. Oh, yeah, that totally works.
Yeah.
Countdown to Destruction 2, at that point, the franchise thought it was ending. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's a huge milestone.
Lucky Akaza at Tokyo 2 Gao said, once a ranger, shirt had its issues, but I was most familiar with all the characters, and I was glad to see them again.
Sentai 5 at Sentai 5 says, Forever Red, the only one done right even with its restraints. Brought the characters back with respect.
Eric Sander at Eric underscore Schumann 87 said Legacy of Power, honoring 500 episodes and a recap of seasons for new viewers at the time. Hopes on 1,000 episodes.
Solomon D at Sallyman underscore D said Legacy of Power, as it was a great overall series retrospective and served to teach the Dino Thunder Rangers their Ranger legacy.
Rider Ranger 335 at Rider Ranger 335 says, I like Forever Red because I like that group morph.
The Ranger Talk at The Ranger Talk said, my favorite anniversary episode was the Wild Force / Time Force team up. Another chance to see my fave Quantum Ranger. Team ups are good milestones. Why not? Because we don't get them anymore.
Michael Riddle at Solaris Knight said, it may be a cheesy answer, but Legacy of Power was a clip show done right, educating to us and the team the true legacy and responsibility of being a ranger. I only watched Lightspeed Rescue as a kid, but Legacy of Power is what galvanized my love for the fandom now.
Mrs. CD at Mr. Change Dragon says, Fighting Spirit, it did air on 828, not just for seeing Tommy's old suits again, but preaching heroism.
Tyler Bozetsky, a Tucson PR zealot, shout out to him for being our newest Patreon supporter.
Yeah.
Forever Red, getting to see all my favorite colored Rangers up till that point was amazing to see. Yes, the ending was bad, but hey, it's much better ending than Fail Legendary Battle.
Alex AJ Tadena at AZNJax18 said, Forever Red, Countdown to Destruction, Once a Ranger, Power of Pink, and Legacy of Power / Fighting Spirit / Thunderstorm Part 1. Thumbs up. Okay.
Thumbs up emoji.
Yeah. Honorary mentions to the 10th Power and the Time / Wild Force team up, forgot episode name in parentheses, and then because everyone looked great and nice teamwork. Yeah.
It was an all right team.
I totally butchered that. I'm so sorry.
Leonardo Talavera says, my honorable mention goes to Forever Red. That episode was pure awesomeness for me as a child. All of the best, quote-unquote, Rangers in one episode, my mind was blown. But my favorite anniversary episode has to be Operation Overdrive's Once a Ranger two-parter. I really dug this episode because after SPD, I was, for lack of a better term, forced to stop watching PR. It wasn't until Super Samurai that I got back into it. Anyway, I saw these two episodes later on Netflix and loved it. Ninja Storm, Dino Thunder, and SPD are some of my favorite seasons, so seeing some of my favorite characters from those seasons come back was spectacular. The cherry on top was seeing Johnny Young Bosch back in black. Adam is my second favorite Ranger of all time, and he has the coolest weapon ever. The episode's storyline was a great idea, but sadly executed poorly, at least in my opinion. The villain being Rita and Zed's child had me ecstatic as hell, but he wasn't used to his full potential, which was another downer. Still, Once a Ranger is held high in my book due to the nostalgia it brought me. I gotta say, though, I'm a little saddened at the thought that in 10 years' time, this question might be asked again on a different Power Rangers podcast, and among all the answers, the Mighty Morphin, Dino Thunder, and Dino Charge crossover will not be one of them because it never happened.
Well, I don't know why it'd be on a different podcast.
Yeah.
We might be around for 10 years. I don't know. Who knows?
Welcome to the 30th year of Ranger Command.
Hey, if no pink spandex can go 10 years, we can go 10 years.
I'll be 40. Oi.
Don't add numbers. Please.
I'm not even going to mention how old I'll be. That'll make you guys feel really old.
Yeah. Grow up, will you?
No, moving on. Luke Early said, each one has parts I love, and each has something I do not like. Once a Ranger is the only bright spot in the worst season of Power Rangers. I dislike the Overdrive Rangers dialogue and cheesy one-liners. Might I add, shut up, Dax. The Legendary Rangers were the best part by far. I loved how each had their theme song playing behind them that made it really cool, and their entrance was bad. Also loved seeing character development with Bridge now being promoted to Red. Legacy of Power is great despite being a clip show. It does a pretty decent job of giving a history lesson on the Rangers' history and heritage at the time. I really enjoyed this episode, one of my favorites. But my favorite has to be Forever Red. Despite the bike destroying Serpentera and random sparks and explosions throughout the episode and Cole, stop! I saw this episode before I seen a lot of the seasons represented in this episode. So when I seen the seasons I did miss, it made me appreciate those characters more. I loved each Ranger's entrance. It made me grin and instantly remember how awesome each Ranger was. Plus, Jason's return was so awesome. Just seeing those Red Rangers all together is just pure awesomeness. Seeing some of my now favorite Rangers work together and fight side by side makes it my favorite anniversary episode. Holy crap, that got long. Sorry for that, whoever gets to read this. No problem.
Vince Ariola said, Chase into Space. I stopped watching Power Rangers right before passing of the torch since my cable company dropped the channel. So years later, after graduating high school, my friend liked Power Rangers. I was always curious what happened since my local cable never had the show. So she said, you missed In Space. Wow. So she said, before you watch it, watch Chase into Space. So I got recorded episodes and watched it and thought, wow, whole new cast, sudden change in storyline, and seeing all those fast-paced changes, and they were left powerless. So at the conclusion of part two, it left me hanging when it says, to be continued next season, Power Rangers in Space. So seeing it years later helped me to appreciate it more, since it launched a season that wrapped up various storylines. Wish I'd watched it when I was younger, but small town cable sucks, haha. It brought me back into the fandom.
Nice.
Charles Smith says, Chase into Space, Part 1 and 2, Episodes 249 and 250 of the franchise overall, because they marked some of the biggest changes in the show. Tons of the mainstays of the franchise made their final appearance in those episodes, everything from locations like the Command Center / Power Chamber and the Youth Center, background characters like Lieutenant Stone, Miss Appleby, and Principal Kaplan. None of their contracts were renewed heading into In Space, and while Miss Appleby and Principal Kaplan appearances grew increasingly sporadic after MNPR, they were still familiar faces who randomly appeared from time to time before the end of Turbo. And even effects like teleporting and the classic communicator beep all had their final appearance in these episodes. When Justin decided not to go into space with the rest of them, the final ranger handpicked by Zordon was essentially retired. With Demetria's departure, the wise alien-style mentor that had always been a guiding hand for the Rangers left with her. Even as a kid, I remember watching the end of Turbo and realizing that Power Rangers would never be the same after Chase into Space. And as I've grown older, rewatched those episodes and realized exactly how many familiar things from the first four seasons made their last appearances, they have firmly taken their place in my mind as the episodes where everything changed in Power Rangers forever.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch that.
Yeah, I didn't even, like, think about that. But yeah, you miss out on a lot of stuff in that episode.
It's pretty significant.
Yeah.
Steven Martinez said, while it had some problems, I have to say Forever Red, simply because of the fact of Bite Size Me got super excited for the return of Austin St. John. But also compared to other anniversary-type episodes, this one, I would say, for the most part, gave each returning Ranger a moment to shine once again. Unlike the Legendary Battle, that still gives me the feeling, that's it? It did have a good mix of returning past Rangers, but all the screen time was mostly JDF, and that's not good either. I think we can all agree that we would have liked to see similar moments for each of those Rangers, like in Forever Red. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. Ashton James Brown said, as much as I'm not exactly a fan of his royal douchiness JDF, I'm going to have to go with Legacy of Power. Considering that it's a clip show, and despite a few mistakes in Tommy's retrospective, it is a thoroughly entertaining episode.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then finally, our final segment, I've got such a headache.
I'm getting one of your headaches now.
So recently, one of my friends, her name's Saja, she went to Wizard World Chicago, where Jason David Frank was, and her and another cosplayer, they dressed up in these amazing pink and yellow Mighty Morphin costumes. They had a good time. Saja told me that mainly she did it because one of her friends had a daughter that was going to Wizard World, and her daughter absolutely loved the Yellow Ranger, and that's why she dressed up. So she got to meet JDF. They both did. And they took this picture of Yellow and Pink standing next to JDF, and he's kind of got his arm around each of them. And, you know, it's a nice picture, like, hey, cool fandom moment. Then Jason David Frank posted it to his Instagram. And because of an, I guess, oddly placed shadow that was coming from JDF, I guess people thought that Saja was packing, like, was a dude that was in the costume. And there were all these, like, oh, it's a trap, it's this, that, and the other. And Saja's, like, very cool. She's got a great attitude. She doesn't take no shit. So she's like, hey, guys, here's my actual face. It was also on Facebook. It mainly took off on Facebook. So on Facebook, she's like, she replied with a photo comment of her in the suit with her helmet off. And she's like, hey, for everyone that thinks that I'm a dude, maybe chill out because I'm a chick. You know, it was basically like that. But even despite that, like, constant comments of like, oh, it's a trap. Oh, the Yellow Ranger's hiding something. And all this stuff. The point is, it's like, so what? So what if, even if it was a dude and cross-playing the Yellow Power Ranger, who cares? Who gives a f***?
Yeah.
It's just this growing trend in cosplay lately And lately there have been things like cosplay does not mean consent, all that type of stuff that's at conventions where people really need to use some common sense. Like, especially if someone's cosplaying, ask for permission to take their picture, you know, don't be a creeper, all that kind of stuff. And then you start to see these articles online about, oh, here's amazing cosplay and here's shitty cosplay. Which is just super wrong. Cosplay is meant, I mean, it's in the name, it's costume play. People are supposed to have fun. And I think that all the body shaming that goes on and making comments like, oh, yeah, the Ranger's packing something, the Yellow Ranger's packing something.
And there were even like, those comments where so they realized that she wasn't a guy, but they were still, like, making fun of, basically calling her fat.
Yeah, like, pudgy and all that stuff.
None of that's okay.
Yeah, none of that's okay. I was also mad in a way at JDF for not monitoring those comments, or at least moderating them or having one of his team moderate them. He said many times in the past, hey, I read every comment. I try to respond to everything, this and that. So if you're making a public statement like that and you're not doing anything to moderate those types of comments, I think that's pretty shameful.
I think he probably thought it was funny.
Yeah, which in itself is a problem.
Yeah.
So again, I think that was my biggest headache moment the past couple weeks, just to see that in the Power Rangers community, just cosplay shaming, and like, just who cares even if it's like quote unquote a trap. That really ticked me off. I really thought that in some ways I thought the fandom was better than this.
I think it really just boils down to the point you made at the top of this, is just have some common sense.
Yeah,
you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Especially because that's someone behind the costume. Mm-hmm. There's a person inside there. For it to happen to her, someone who's super nice and was basically cosplaying for a friend's child. Man, how dare some of those people? Really, it's just, that made me sick. Man, I gotta stop. I gotta stop this segment at the end of the episode. It kind of becomes a bummer. But, you know, I just think if you're going to cosplay, just feel free to cosplay whatever you want. If you're going to own it, then own it. Don't let the haters get to you, but at the same time, don't let them take you down. Sasha did everything right. She responded to the criticism. Her friend stepped in. I just think that there's better ways to make comments on the costumes that we see. Can we end with something happy? Is there, like, Power Ranger Kins that we can play, or... Meow, 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 meow. I don't know.
Now there is.
Just play play a clip of Claire mentioning our hashtag.
Perfect. I will end with that.
Can I get a hashtag, like, hashtag Kendall something for anything that happens to your character? Maybe, like, hashtag Kendall Purple Ranger or something.
Let's see. Hashtag... It's going to be a hard one. Well, I've actually seen one that I really like on Twitter. I don't know who started it, but it's Kendall Morgan for mayor, and I really like it. Mayor of Amber Beach wouldn't be a bad position.
That's Kendall Morgan's future after Power Rangers. That's is a little fan fiction there.
So, Ranger Nation, let us know what you think. If you have questions, email us at rangercommandpowerhour@gmail.com or check us out at rangercommand.com. Here's to another 50 more episodes and more.
Yeah.
Woo! Yay! Victory! Bye,
everyone.
We did it. What other news happened this week? We got the titles. We got the Wheel of Fine contest.
Blah.
I'm burping.
We got your civilian power manifesting in the form of a sonic burp.
Civilian power activate.
At least yours comes out of your mouth.
Ba-na-da-da-da-da. We already know they listen quite a bit.
Yes, yes.
Even people I don't know listen.
I'm always surprised by the numbers.
You know why?
Why?
Because we're stronger than
I set myself up for that, didn't I? Boo.
Fired up for more.
Boo this man. If that's in the bloopers of this episode, I will make your pancakes with cyanide.
Or just use the part where I came on.
Stronger than before. Go pancakes. I don't know.
What?
Wow. Oh, man.
You don't understand. When I edited that theme song episode, I got to the Zio theme, and I had that shit on repeat for like 10 minutes. 50th regular episode, guys.
Yeah.
Woo!
Wow. great response there, I think. Oh, did you guys do anything to celebrate 22 years of Power Rangers? Did you, like, watch
Nope. No. I didn't know it was happening until it was too late.
You guys are great fans. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, not all of us own 8 copies of the Legacy Collection.
I don't own 8 copies. Mm-hmm. I only own 2.
Okay.
No, I own 1 of the helmets and the mega sets.
Yeah, you only own 2. You schmuck.
You can bring it 2 Saturdays from now.
You've been listening to the Ranger Command Power Hour, only on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You can catch a new episode every other Saturday. Find us on the Morphing Grid at www.rangercommand.com. Follow us on Twitter at Ranger Command PH and like us on Facebook.com/Ranger Command Power Hour. This is Truckee B47 from the Ranger Command Power Hour, and you are listening to the Four-Eyed Radio Network. Ranger Command is now on Patreon. Become a patron by pledging as much or as little as you like every month, and receive cool perks. By pledging, you are helping us make our show even better. Go to patreon.com/rangercommandph to learn more. Thanks.
This has been another great presentation of the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You can catch more shows at foureyedradio.com.